because I meet so many local people, they know the good spots that no other tourists have been. And usually when it is touristic, you pay more money than something that is not touristic, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean it's less pretty or a less cooler experience.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Digital Nomads Daily Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about challenges of the digital nomad lifestyle and doing your own thing. And I have here Samara on the podcast. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, hello. Good to be here.
Good. So before I start like the conversation about like the real nomading and what's happening behind the scenes, I always ask my guests three questions. And my first question is, how long have you been nomading?
Well, nomading itself is like 6 years ago, or almost 6 years ago, because I left for Canada. Mm-hmm. And then I had a job in a little picturesque Dutch bakery there, and it was so cute. And that's where it started, that I didn't want to go back to the Netherlands.
All right. And where are you talking from right now?
I'm in Sri Lanka currently, and I absolutely love it.
Amazing. I haven't been to Sri Lanka.
You should, definitely.
Yeah, it's on my list. It definitely is. I heard that the surf is also very beautiful there, and I suck at surfing, but I like it. So it's like my dream to like surf in Sri Lanka.
I can imagine that. Yeah. I also want to note that I've been to Bali last May, and that's what inspired me to quit my job. And now I'm even doubting maybe Sri Lanka is even better than Bali, because Bali is so touristic. And here you still have like the rawness, and the culture is so there, and it's not all pinpointed at the tourists.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes like sense. That. Yeah. So talking about how you make a living, what is it that you do?
Basically, I don't have an income at the moment. Yeah, so I basically just jumped into the deep and thought, okay, let's see where it heads off or ends up. I've been working on a couple of things, obviously, and I hope they will work out. One of them is I'm videoing, vlogging all of my bits of my travels. And I'm also on Instagram. And via Instagram, I actually got my first collaboration. With an Airbnb stay. So the beginning is there. I'm actually there right now. So it was also a good combination with the podcast, I suppose. And besides that, I'm also, I've created a curly hair product for sleeping, like a bonnet. And when I was in Turkey, I went to a manufacturer, and everything is in the designing right now. So I can also start building a website and do all the logistics of this. So I have a couple of things going on.
Love it. I mean, this sounds like how many digital nomads do it. And it always makes me really exciting, because I'm, in that sense, also a multi-passionate entrepreneur. And it's, I love when people have projects and side hustles. And for me, it's just something I really want to celebrate also on this podcast, because one of the things that we have learned so far is that, you know, you don't have to have one job or do one thing. Like, the beauty of this lifestyle is the freedom of working from many different places, but also making money in a way that serves you and your needs. So that's very cool. Now, I have one question about, and it's not about the exact number, but just to give our listeners a bit of an idea of like, how much did you save before you quit your job and you said, I decide not to have an income for a while and I'm going to live off my savings?
Yeah, I understand this question, because I wondered this a lot as well. Like, how much do you actually need, right? So I did not have a lot of savings. But when I was in the UK, I worked there for 2 years. And obviously, I have some savings there. But I want to keep that as my emergency basket, if that makes sense. So I don't want to touch this money. And while I was living in Berlin for like a year and a half, it's not the cheapest to live there because you go out for food all the time and for drinks all the time. So I basically gave myself the budget of like 3,000-4,000 euros that I can spend on making it work for basically a year, 2 years. I don't know how it will turn out. I don't really have a plan.
Oh, that's interesting. But it's really cool to know these kind of things, because when people say, I don't have a lot, or I saved a lot, like, what does that even mean? Because maybe for a Dutch person, that's a lot of money. But maybe for someone in Brazil, it's like really a lot of money. And then maybe for someone from the US, it's like, oh, that's nothing. So it's always mm-hmm. cool to like to notice. So how do you budget them? Because I also lived a while off my savings. And in the beginning, it was all fun. But then at one point, you really start seeing your savings shrinking. And then it's like, okay, like now I have to maybe pay a little bit more attention. Like how does that work for you? Like how do you manage to live off your savings?
I was so struggling with making decisions to like quit my job because of my savings issue, because I've always worked with minimum wage jobs, so I could never really save that much. But I don't want to keep that as an excuse not to go after what you want. Mm-hmm. And I definitely didn't want the 9-to-5 minimum wage job anymore. So then via, I came to learn that there's this thing, couch surfing. I don't know if you ever heard of this.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's basically how I travel. And I do hitchhiking, buses and trains, because those are usually the cheapest ways of transportation. And that's how I save a lot of money. Plus, I also think it's the most amazing experience to do this, because you meet so many locals, you hear so many stories. And I think for me, that's more interesting than another European or American talking about, yeah, school really sucked, you know, or something like this. And yeah, that really inspires me. So actually, I per week, because maybe this can be interesting to talk about as well, is like per week, I give myself a budget between like 60 euros, 70 euros. Sometimes it might be 100 euros, depends. Maybe there's an activity that you really want to do. But that's basically only food and some cheap transportations that you sometimes have to buy. So I don't think that's a lot. It's actually way cheaper to travel the way like I do instead of having my apartment in Berlin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think also when you really live off a lower budget, you become kind of more resourceful as well. Like you start to think about your transportation differently, or your food, and you might even seek other activities because of the budget limitations. So what are some of the most like low budget or maybe even free activities that you do that actually gave you really, really good experiences?
Yeah, because I meet so many local people, they know the good spots that no other tourists have been. And usually when it is touristic, you pay more money than something that is not touristic, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean it's less pretty or a less cooler experience. So, for example, when I was in Turkey, I was a little bit in the east north, and that called Tatvan. And apparently there's a crater and it snows there. I hiked up this crater with my couch surfing host. We both brought a tent and I was on top of a crater. And then I walked down and I camped there with my tent, because that's also, by the way, something I like to do. If I can't find a couch surfing host, then I will just put my tent up somewhere where nobody can see me. And that's how I survived the night. But yeah, then... Yeah, I just really don't want to have the 9-to-5 job anymore, right? And I like camping in general, but this, it's really back to basic.
That is so cool. Yeah. So you travel with a tent?
Yeah, my tent, one tiny one-person tent, but it's spacious enough to sleep. So yeah, my sleeping bag and my tent and my gas thingy, my heater, and my pen is going everywhere with me. Yeah.
That's incredible. And where is like a place which was probably a bit unexpected to take out your tent and just put it there and say, I'm going to spend the night here?
Oh, I was in Turkey, in Oludeniz, and there's a beach, and it was not super busy because it was out of the high season. But yeah, there were people there and they saw me put up this tent and they were like, yeah, okay. Yeah, but the Turkish people are so friendly, and they even helped me build a campfire in the end of the night. So, you know, like, yeah, they're weirded out at the first thing, but then, yeah, they still are so hospitable of helping me out.
That's incredible. Now, what I'm very curious about, and I can imagine when you're in a tent this is different, how do you get work done? Because you said that you have quite some projects that you're working on, which obviously require a laptop and Wi-Fi, maybe some camera gear if you're vlogging. How do you do that? How do you combine that very back to basic lifestyle with actually getting work done?
Yeah, my phone. Yeah, you might also know, as a digital nomad, when you get into a new country, one of the first things you do is a local SIM card. That's how I do it with my phone, and also with my laptop sometimes in my tent, that I just work on my 4 or 5G, whatever's available, or you just go to a cheap bar, restaurant, coffee shop kind of thing, and then work on the Wi-Fi there.
How do you organize your work days then? Because, well, obviously when you have a 9-to-5, you're a bit more stick to a schedule. But as a multi-passionate entrepreneur myself and having multiple side hustles, I get extremely stressed when my Wi-Fi isn't working or there's not a proper table in the house. Like, I kind of need to have a good work environment. So how has that for you been? Like, how do you even manage your time?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm really struggling with as a beginner as well, because first when I hopped to different countries and actually lived there, I got a paycheck there for a certain job that I did in the office. So being on your own as a business owner, yeah, it's difficult. You need to try stuff and fall on your face and then see how you can do it better. So yeah, since October, I'm basically traveling, and that I don't have my job anymore. So it's still very fresh. And Turkey was basically one of my first countries that I was for a little bit of a longer time. I noticed straight away that my organizing skills are definitely something I need to work on. Time management. Yeah, because also in the beginning, you know, a lot of still was unclear, like which path do I really want to take? And some things I still haven't figured out. But I think the most important thing is just to do it and then learn from your mistakes. Because also on the internet, you have so many gurus, coaches, and so forth. And they all think that they have the thing, but then there's millions of people who say that they have the thing, and then you get so confused. So I think it's better to just do it, find the struggle, and then find the solution instead of trying to figure things out before you even start.
I mean, I see that, but I do think that having some sort of preparation really helps, because what I also notice is that there's like this super nice time of like experimenting, and I think everyone should have that. Like, I recently recorded a podcast talking about how living abroad itself just changed my life. And that was experimenting. But then doing it for the long run and just really making those decisions and even becoming a digital nomad, like there's this experimenting part, but then there's the moment where you kind of have to make decisions and think a little bit more ahead than only 2 weeks from now. Like, it helps, especially if you want to get work done. whether that is a 9-to-5 or you want to start your business or you want to do, I don't know, a million things. So because you're more like in experimenting mode right now, which I think is really great, do you ever think about like the future, or is that really too far ahead in the future?
That's a good question, actually, because I think about this a lot myself. Because I don't know how things will go, but I do see kind of the end goal in my head, but I don't really have a time thing for it or something. I definitely want to make it work within, let's say, from now a year or so, maybe a year and a half. I feel like that should be enough time to get on your own feet. And if not, then you're doing something wrong and then you need to start over again with, yeah, get some normal 9-to-5 money first before you can do something else.
Mm-hmm. But you can also think about part-time things. Like, this is something I also have been doing when I started working less for my main remote job, because I think now people, like our regular listeners, they probably know this, but if you're new to this podcast, I had a remote job for a really long time, just part-time. And then on the side, I would do my side hustle. So I still had like kind of best of both worlds. Like, I had the security and the stability, like financially, but also mentally kind of. But then yeah, I could like take risk, but it felt less risky because I had a backup plan. So that's also a way, like, it's not so black and white, actually. This is so very exciting also.
Yeah, but one important thing is that you need to figure out what you want to do as a digital nomad. Even if it's a digital nomad job for someone else, the jobs that I was doing was mostly customer service and some sales jobs. That's the thing. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So, and then what? Then there's virtual assistants or copywriters. I just named two, but I don't see myself getting into this, taking time of working my own business.
Mm-hmm.
So I rather just go all in on this right now and give myself some end time for myself to discover more about myself and to start my own business instead of, yeah, working for someone else and trying to figure out how to make it work for somebody else.
Yeah. You actually mentioned like a really good point there is also taking time for yourself. I feel like a lot of nomads struggle with this because you either like hustle hard for your business or you're like very busy traveling with a lot of adventure and people and fun. But actually like sitting down and asking yourself some reflective questions and just really take time with yourself, for yourself, be on your own. Like, that's important. How is that for you? Like, do you feel like you currently have enough time to have those self-reflective moments?
Yes, for sure. I like to take time for reading. Because for a long time, I wasn't really into reading, but I actually have so much joy out of reading. And I read self-help books, like Tony Robbins books I'm reading right now. And yeah, so then it's best of both worlds. Like, you can relax and just read, but you also learn something about yourself, how you can structure some things for yourself better.
Love it. I like reading too. Do you have a like an e-reader?
No, actually, I was planning on buying one for my travel started, but then I end up not doing it and investing in a GoPro.
I recommend it, girl. Oh, like, for me, my e-reader is my everything. You know actually what happened? This is such a fail. I accidentally sat on it and then it broke. And I think that I cried. So I'm a little bit dramatic sometimes. So I cried quite a bit, but I cried so much. And in Bali, it was hard to like get one. Luckily, I went to Australia. So the first thing I did when I arrived in Australia was buying an e-reader. And at the time, I also didn't make so much money and I was kind of like struggling meeting ends. But then I was chatting with my dad and my dad was like, Nina, how how much do you use your e-reader? I was like, every day, because I read, at the time I was reading every day for at least half an hour with a coffee. That was my thing. And he said, if you do that every single day, then you should buy it. Like that,
yeah.
If that's that important. And now what I find is that the e-reader battery goes like very long, or it lasts very long. So that's great. Plus you have access to a million books. Like, it's so easy. It's like, I recommend it. Like, if you have a couple of bucks to spare, buy an e-reader. Like, it's so, and you can highlight things.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I always do that. Like, I highlight things, and it's been very inspirational for some of my work. And actually, because of the e-reader, and I'm so consciously reading, my English really improved, because 8 years ago I didn't speak a word English. So I swear by e-reader. Wow. And wait, one more thing. I'm learning Portuguese, and I downloaded my Portuguese PDFs, like the conversations that I have in my workbooks and on my audiobooks. I downloaded that to my e-reader. So when I don't want to like listen to something, or I don't want to use my phone, I can still learn Portuguese from my e-reader. So if you're not,
oh wow,
I don't know what more to say.
Yeah, because that's so convenient. Wow, I didn't know this. Thank you.
It's great. And like I said, the battery is amazing. I charge my e-reader every 2 months. And
wow,
I use it quite a lot. The battery lasts forever.
Wow. Okay, I will put it on my list for pleasure and toys goals.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So I would like to ask you one more question. And this is one of my favorite questions. And even though you just started out, you might already have an answer in your head. Like, what did you wish you knew before you started this journey?
That is a very good question. That I don't need to fill my backpack till the fullest. Yeah, and buy an e-reader, apparently, because I'm carrying around two books right now, which is stupid when you just have like a light little device. But also, yeah, I want to come up with something good, you know?
Well, I think these things are great. Like, and also you just started your journey, but the packing is important. Like, you guys, like, we really don't need that much stuff. Like, there are some non-negotiables. I have my own coffee thing, which I stopped drinking coffee, so I'm not even using it. But before, I would always like travel with that.
One thing I could come up with now, because I'm struggling a little bit with this myself right now, is since I'm vlogging for YouTube. And obviously, as a digital nomad in general, you need a great laptop, right? And now I cannot edit my own videos, but I really wanted to learn this. Mm-hmm. But I can't, because my laptop just can't handle this. It's like 4 years old. It was a cheap one. It was in my starting days of like, I don't want my 9-to-5 anymore. Yeah, invest in a good laptop that can take you a little while before you actually leave, if that makes sense.
I love that tip. And just guys, it doesn't have to be a sexy MacBook or something. There are so many affordable, good laptops. Now, we're almost at the end of the episode, and I ask my guests always one question, which is, do you have a question for me? So I am very curious if you have a question.
Do you prepare yourself for food that you're going to get in a different country? Because sometimes the food is such a shock for your body. I wonder if there's anything that can be done for that to prevent it.
Yeah, I used to have more struggles with this when I was in Asia, but I always have a reusable water bottle with me. So that's so I can always just put like water in there. Food wise, like what I recommend people to do is, if that's hard, like you can always find some oatmeal, some milk, like fruits, like those things. And if you're really new, eat things with a peel, with a skin. So yeah, and like instead of an apple, choose a banana or laranja. I'm thinking in Portuguese. No, this is crazy. like just something that has a skin, so you're a little bit more safe. But I mean, if you get pain in your stomach, it's part of the job. Like, it's just part of it. So embrace it. It will get over. And get an insurance. Like, don't travel without an insurance. That's
Oh, yeah. That's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have another question. So you said you are a digital nomad for around 5 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
After how long did you think, okay, I've kind of figured it out right now?
Never. The thing is that I figured it out now a little bit more because I learned what is important to me. I'm not the biggest risk taker on this planet. So for me, it's important that I understand my environment and that I have some sort of financial security. It's not about having a lot of money, but just so I don't get stressed. And these are things like getting to know yourself, understand what matters to you, and understand how you operate as a human in the best way possible. That is the challenge. If you get to that point, I think you can face the whole planet. Yeah.
Well said.
All right. So where can people find you online?
On Instagram right now with @betterbecurly. And soon enough, I will launch my YouTube as well.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for coming today. And I really enjoyed it. And I wish you all the best on your journey.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed my very first podcast. Thank you so much.